Good morning, and I also extend a welcome. I love that spirited singing. It sounds great from up front here. This morning, I'd like to talk about eye problems. How many of you have been to an eye doctor? Okay. We may be nearsighted. We may be farsighted. We may have astigmatism, cataracts. When we have eye problems, we tend not to see things too clearly. My eyes have been gradually deteriorating for some time. I used to have nearly perfect vision. Now I have trouble reading without glasses. Just yesterday, my son made some comment about, I don't remember, sight impaired or something, but it was something about age and sight. You know, looking out across here, I don't know what percentage of you would be in serious trouble if it wouldn't be for corrective lens of some sort. Many of us need glasses. We would be in trouble without glasses. But the eye problem that I'm talking about this morning is not something that can be fixed with glasses or surgery. The word I'm talking about is not spelled E-Y-E, but it is spelled only with the letter I. And we generally capitalize that letter. I had this eye problem long before I needed glasses. You know, as human beings, we're conscious of the image that we project to others, or that we try to project. We want to appear as though we're put together, as though we're on top, everything is under control. When we're telling stories, it's amazing how easy it is for us to just kind of emerge as the heroes of the story. And when we're comparing ourselves with others, it's kind of easy to point out the faults and the shortcomings in the others. But when we're the reporters, we're kind of careful. Those don't usually show up too much in our story. You know, we tend to take credit for the accomplishments that we've had. When we've arrived, it's easy to cross arms in satisfaction as we look out over our kingdom, our legacy, or our reputation. In Luke 12, Jesus has a story of a man who was on top, who was put together, under control. I think by his own assessment, he was probably living the dream, but his perspective was skewed because he was looking at the here and now. He had major eye problems, and I want to read from Luke 12, the parable of the rich man, beginning at verse 16. And I want you to notice all the personal pronouns. Maybe I'll just accent them a little bit, some of them as I'm reading. Verse 16, Luke 12, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, when we focus only on ourselves, we can even end up empty, feeling empty and frustrated as well. There's few people in all of history that equaled King Solomon. Position, possessions, prestige, power, partners, he had it. And yet, Solomon had major eye trouble. If you read in Ecclesiastes 2, and for time, I don't think I'll read the passage there, but he talks about the many things that he did or the accomplishments that he had. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Just reading excerpts. Water, servants, maidens, silver, gold, peculiar treasures of the king and the provinces. On and on. Solomon had it. He had it put together. Verse 10, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them, the first part. And then verse 11, Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. A man who had it all and was still frustrated in life. You know, we can spend a lot of energy trying to project a certain image. A good image often trumps our personal comfort or convenience. How many women, or men for that matter, wear shoes or clothes that are extremely uncomfortable, impractical, or ridiculously expensive because style tells them to? It is said that people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. We're pretty big on this image projection thing, if we admit it, I think. We tend to take credit for the accomplishments that we've done, but when it comes to blame and fault, we like to pass that on to others. Judy recalls a story from many years ago. She was babysitting three young boys, and they were playing outside. Presently, the oldest boy came inside, and he disappeared in the bathroom. She heard the water in the sink running and running and running. Apparently, there was some serious washing going on there. Presently, this young man appeared, presented himself to Judy. He wanted to inform Judy that the other two boys were throwing mud on the house. A look outside confirmed for Judy that he was right. There was mud on the house, a lot of mud on the house. And there was a lot of mud on the two boys that were still outside. We're glad, Shane, that you had time for a bath. This incident brought certain consequences to bear that made throwing mud on the house in the future not a real likely possibility, I don't think. But the detail that I want to highlight on this story was the selective reporting by that oldest boy. The other boys are throwing mud on the house. And it wasn't very hard, even after all of that extended washing, for Judy to see mud under the fingernails of the oldest boy. All three boys shared in the consequences of the mud-throwing incident. You know, in life, and this is broader than just houses and fingernails, it's hard to throw mud without getting some under your own fingernails. You know, the blame game is nothing new. It's been here a long time. In the garden, when men fell, man fell. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And so on. Someone wrote Judy a letter some years ago. This letter was sharing some of this lady's journey with Judy. Apparently this woman was seeing a counselor, and she was finding the teaching of this counselor so liberating. The upshot of the teaching, as I remember, is that we are all a product of our upbringing, which I think we can concur with some of these thinkings. We are how we are because of the circumstances that we've come through, and we are how we are in many cases because of how somebody has treated us. But it seemed like this was taken to a conclusion that I wasn't particularly comfortable with. Essentially, my issues aren't really my issues at all. My issues are what Dad did to me, or what Mom did to me, my brother, my school teacher, or whatever the situation is. And this lady was sharing how she was finding, this is in my words, this teaching so liberating. The implication was that a person needed only to find the person or the persons, the reason, where to put the blame for their dysfunction. Then presto, they're off the hook. They're free of responsibility because it isn't really my problem at all. It was that problem somebody else over there. You know, I find that concept scary. It's true that we're all a product of our upbringing to some extent. But none of us had a perfect past. None of us had a perfect situation. Even with a perfect parent, Adam and Eve fell there in the garden. And if we are all just a helpless product of our upbringing, why do two people in the same family turn out radically different? Radically different. On the day of judgment, each one of us must give an account of himself before God. In Matthew 7, Jesus speaks of eye problems. He talks of the mote and the beam. You know, we tend to focus on the specks in other people's eyes, even when it's hard for us to look around the board that's in our own eye. When we're looking for faults, let's use mirrors, not binoculars. Let's deal with our own eye beams. You know, we want to protect our own image. Kingdom living calls us to protect Christ's image. This morning I would call us to be humble, to be realistic, to be transparent, to protect Christ's image. So how will we develop, how will we cultivate a proper concept of ourselves? How will we deal with our eye problem this morning? I think central to that is accepting personal responsibility for our lives. U.S. President Harry Truman had a plaque or something on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." You know, there's something reassuring about a leader who takes serious responsibility for what is entrusted to him. The buck stops here. I'm not passing it off to somebody else. It's hard to fix an issue if the issue is always somebody else's issue. We need to accept responsibility and be willing to admit our mistakes. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Confession was a major component of that revival in Nagaland we talked about the other evening. You know, it seems we don't have a lot of confessions here at Center Church anymore. And I don't think it's because we've just arrived at some plane of spiritual perfection that we really don't need it. When we confess and deal with the beams in our own eyes, it does several things for us. Confession is a cleansing experience. Confession is agreeing with God and sometimes with those around us. Confession seems to be an important component in revival. Confession is an humbling experience. It brings perspective to our lives. The motes in other people's eyes will likely diminish, maybe disappear altogether, as we acknowledge our own problems. There's a call to brotherhood when we're vulnerable enough to confess the weaknesses and the problems in our own lives. Others rally around us, and it's in the collective prayers of the saints that healing can come. Humble acknowledgement of personal problems diffuse conflict. How often have we seen wars and fightings inside the church? Conflicts that come from our own ambitions and agendas. Some project or some beef that I have that just somehow trumps all other projects and beefs of the other people. I love the story told about our ancestor, I guess it is, Dan Mast. This church leader, and I'll give it in my words, was apparently being raked over the coals by someone for supposed character flaws or issues in his life. I understand when the approacher was done, Dan asked, "Is this all you have to say?" To which the man replied, "Yes." Dan says, "I have many other faults besides these you've mentioned." In conclusion, I assume that there are those of you out there that have eye problems this morning. In a sense, that's really not my problem. I have problems of my own. This morning, let's be the patient, not the optometrist. Let's focus on our own issues. I'll admit, I get discouraged in my life. Too often I live under the circumstances instead of being more than a conqueror. I don't pray without ceasing, Daryl, for sure. I sometimes have problems with anger. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I need you. We need each other. James talks of looking into the perfect law of liberty. For my eye problems, as I look into my glasses, it's there that I can see clearly again. The man that sees and does, after looking into the perfect law of liberty, that man will be blessed. This morning, in this service, let's again lift the perfect law of liberty and look into it, and let that do its healing work on our troubled eyesight. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you, dear God, that you made a way for us, that even with our deteriorating capabilities, that we can have things put in perspective as we can bring ourselves to the light of your word. Just bless this service from start to finish this morning for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.